with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I will. I am willing. He said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew in lonely places and prayed.
Thank you, John. All right. Good morning again, church. Thanks for hanging in there this morning. But it's been good. It's been good. And, I just want to real quick, and it ties into our series that we're kicking off today. And if you're wondering why we didn't have lyrics up, it's because that's actually through a different program than the PowerPoint. So that's why we have the PowerPoint working, but the Sunday Plus program we use was not working. But I just want to a quick thing, when you guys prayed over me this morning, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Because for me, and I've said this to some people before at different points in time, you know, like if somebody would say to me, and I just praying for you this week, Pastor. Like, for me, just not only as a pastor, but just as a follower of Jesus, in my mind, that is the greatest gift that I think anybody could ever give me. You know, far beyond any other riches or gifts or whatever. Like, to be genuinely on your knees in your secret place and lifting me up to God's throne. Like, my goodness. Like, what a gift. What a gift. So I just want to, from my heart to yours, I just want to say, if you've ever lifted me up to his throne for any reason at any time, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. That means more to me than you will ever know. So in light of that, we're kicking off this new series that will take us through a good part of our fall season here. And as you can see, decided to call it, Can You Hear Me Now? And it might be a little outdated phrase now, I know. But I think the point is still clear. Can you hear me now? And we're going to be exploring prayer. And my prayer for us leading into this and throughout these coming weeks is not that we would just develop a deeper theology of prayer. Of course, I think that's important. But I really want us to work hard. I'm going to be trying to work hard to make this as practical as we possibly can. I'm going to make this as practical as we can. I want us to just learn how to pray. If you've been praying for 40 years, maybe I want this to be practical for you. If you've been praying for 4 days, I want this to be practical for you. So, Lord willing, that is something that God will do among us throughout this series. How many of you have ever found yourself in a situation in which you were called upon to pray out loud in public? How many of you, when Christine said earlier, you'll have an opportunity to pray out loud, how many of you thought right away, not me. Not me. What feelings, and it's a rhetorical question, but I want you to be thinking about it, so you don't have to answer out loud. In a moment like that, what feelings arise within you? What emotions are maybe stirred up? Do you all of a sudden feel fear? Like, whoa, I need to pray out loud? Or does anxiety start to kick in? And you're like, what am I going to say? Nervousness? I'll never forget one of my first experiences when I started working in full-time ministry. I was a youth pastor. And it was a Sunday morning gathering, and the worship leader at the end of the gave the final song and led the final song. And then at the end of that, I was out there just in a seat like you, and all of a sudden he called me up front, in front of everybody on the spot, and said, Chris is going to lead us to, in the closing of our service, through reciting the Lord's Prayer, leading us through the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, right? Sure. You know, we know that. We haven't memorized, most of us, if not all of us. And I'll never forget that feeling that I had, first time being called up front, given the microphone, standing there, all eyes on me, and it felt like 10 years. Felt like 10 years had passed, and my mind, all of a sudden, I mean, I've said the Lord's Prayer countless times, but all of a sudden, my mind finds itself like flicking through the Rolodex, you know? Like, Lord's Prayer, Lord's Prayer, Lord's Prayer, you know? And in my mind, I'm thinking like, I pledge, no, that's not the Lord's Prayer, like, oh my goodness. And then finally, it kicks in, and I, all I had to do was start it, and then everybody else kicked in, and it went well. But that was an experience I will never forget. And there's been others, but that's one that certainly comes to my mind. And for many of us, prayer can sometimes be an anomaly. An anomaly, if you don't know what that means, is something that deviates from the norm rather than being the norm. So I wonder, you know, if maybe for some of us, prayer is more the exception rather than the rule. And again, part of my prayer for us is that prayer would be the first thing that we resort to. That prayer would become more the rule rather than an anomaly in our lives. Sometimes we may even wonder, or you may have even wondered, like, what is this whole prayer thing? Does it even work? Like, what is this prayer thing all about? I don't understand it. Am I doing it right? Are my hands folded right? Did I close my eyes right? Like, did I bow my head enough? Like, what is going on with this prayer thing? Or maybe your prayer life could be summed up more like this. And do we still have that clip? Lord, please let it work.
Greg, would you like to say grace?
Greg, Jewish then. Yeah.
You're telling me Jews don't pray, honey? Unless you have some objection.
No, I'd love to. Man, come on, it's not like I'm a rabbi or something. I've said grace at many a dinner table. Okay. Oh, dear God, thank you. You are such a good God to us, a kind and gentle and accommodating God. And we thank you, oh sweet, sweet Lord of hosts, for the smorgasbord you have so aptly lain at our table this day and each day by day. Day by day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things we pray. To love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day, by day. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Greg, that was lovely.
Thank you, Greg. That was interesting, too.
Oh. Oh, the awkwardness. You could just feel the anxiety at the table as he's fumbling for what he feels to be that need to have just the right words. And did you catch his hand motions? He's like, do I fold them? Do I put them like this? It's like, what do I do? You know, like, man, like, part of my prayer is that for us is that that if we were to be called upon in any situation to pray, that we would be like, yeah, I got this. I got this because I know it's not about me praying the right words. I know it's not about me having my hands in the right position, but it's about more. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we can call upon Him in any and every situation. So today we're going to be kicking off the series by exploring prayer and looking at just simply what we'll call the three P's of prayer. The purpose of prayer, the priority of prayer, and the power of prayer. And let's begin by praying. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have given us the gift of prayer. That no matter where we are, that no matter what circumstance we may find ourselves in the midst of, that we can just reach out to You in prayer. Just want to pray for this church, our church family here this morning, that as we look at prayer, I pray that at the core of it, we would see our relationship with Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask that even now, through Your Holy Spirit, You would begin to open us up more and more to prayer. Not because it's magical, but because it's all about our relationship with You. Help us to not only be better communicators towards You, but help us to be better listeners as well. Hearing Your voice in the midst of prayer. May we hear Your voice in this place this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we go on, did everybody have, hold this up. If you got one of these, hold it up. It says my prayer plan. Hold it up. Because if your hand's not up, we need to get you one. Because I want everyone to have one of these. If you need, maybe we'll do it this way. If you need one, raise your hand. There we go. There we go. And while Phil is diligently handing those out, thanks, Phil. I'm going to get started here. We're going to get started. So I want to just give a couple simple definitions of prayer because some of us might not even understand or have a kind of a working definition of prayer. So two definitions from two different people. The first one is from Mike Bickle and one of his resources, and your resources are listed in the bulletin, resources that I'm recommending and resources that I'm using, of course, along with the Bible being the preeminent resource throughout this series. But Mike Bickle, in his book on developing a prayer life, he just simply defines prayer with this simple definition. See, he says, very simply, prayer is talking to God. That's all it is, very simply. It's just talking to God. Just as you would talk to a friend, just as you would call your best friend and have a conversation about what your experience that day was, we could do the same thing with God. It's just talking to God, communicating with Him. And then another definition, a little more in-depth, but the Kendrick brothers, Stephen and Alex Kendrick, describe prayer as this. Prayer is communion with God, so there's still that relational piece. It's communion with God in order to intimately know, love, and worship Him, understand and conform our lives to His will and ways, and thirdly, to access and advance His kingdom, power, and glory. So there's some working definitions of prayer. And at the core of both of those is this idea of communion with God. It's this relationship with God. So prayer really is about this connecting with the Father through the Son and the indwelling Holy Spirit. And I want to talk a little bit about the purpose of prayer. And I just want to put a disclaimer out there. I've really struggled writing this week. Because do you know how much the Bible talks about prayer? Oh my goodness. It's amazing. Amazing. We could like this series, we're not even going to get to everything. So some of you might be like disappointed if I don't talk about some things. And others might feel I'm talking about too much. It's just going to be one of those things. But I want to talk about the purpose of prayer a little bit here. And basing this off of the Kendrick brothers' definition somewhat. and of course Scripture, the purpose of prayer is at least kind of threefold. And primarily, it's that God would be glorified. God would be glorified. And that's kind of a Christian word that we use. And so if you don't know what glory means or glorified means, kind of a synonym for that would be to honor or to praise. So when we glorify God, we are honoring God. We are praising God. So prayer, one of the primary purposes of it is that we would glorify God, that we would praise Him, that we would honor Him. And Jesus points us towards this in a couple of different places. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, one of those places, Jesus is teaching His disciples about prayer. And He says, when you pray, pray like this. And He begins by saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallowed be your name. God, you are in heaven. Hallowed be your name. May your name be set apart. May your name be glorified. May your name be honored and lifted up. So when we are praying, it's not about us. I'm not saying you don't pray for things that obviously are about you. But when we're praying, it's about God. It's about honoring Him, glorifying Him, and lifting up His name. And this lines up with the psalmist. For example, Psalm 115, verse 1, the psalmist begins and says, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness." So it's not about, prayer is about, in a sense, making the name of God famous. It's not about making our name famous. It's about making Him famous. Prayer is not merely kicking off of a checklist of things, but it is about glorifying God. And our focus is to be on Him, not upon ourselves. And we want His name, as I said, to be made famous, not ours. And a second purpose of prayer is that His kingdom would advance. Pray for God to be glorified and His kingdom to advance. Jesus continues in that prayer in Matthew 6:10. He says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Man, if that statement right there isn't something that is very countercultural just to our general American culture these days, isn't it? Because so much of the focus is on my own kingdom. The focus is on my will being done. The focus is on what I want to see and what I want to do. And we could talk here about the American dream versus God's kingdom dream. And how those two things diverge greatly, but our prayers are about, or need to be about, the purpose of them is to honor God and to advance His kingdom. Jesus says later in Matthew 6:33, He says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." God doesn't say seek first your dreams. God doesn't say seek first your own desires. God wants us to be His kingdom seekers first. Because in seeking His kingdom, we will find our lives being changed and our will being conformed to His will. So it's about glorifying God. It's about advancing His kingdom, which means our goals align with His goals. And thirdly, it means that Christ, it's about Christ being Lord of all. That Jesus is Lord of all. Look at what Paul says in Romans 10:9. He says, "If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord." And New Testament scholars believe that that was the first, the earliest Christian creed. Simply, Jesus is Lord. That means Jesus is King. That means He's the one who has authority and rule and power over everything. So three simple little words, but not so simple and very powerful in what they say. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Paul says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." And then I love this example. Another example I want to give you from the book of Acts, just about the name of Jesus being made famous. And let me just set up these verses here in Acts 19, verses 17 through 20. Paul is on his missionary journeys, and he winds up in the city of Ephesus, which was a large city in its day. It's in modern-day Turkey. or would be in what is today modern day Turkey. A huge metropolitan type place, and known for lots of things, not all of them good, but one of those things that it was known for was its magic. And I'm not talking like, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. I'm talking like real magic, which, you know, the kind that some of us think like that doesn't exist. Well, Ephesus was known for that. Ephesus was known for that. And in Ephesus, there were some Jewish exorcists going around and performing exorcisms. And one time they decided to invoke the name of Jesus and the name of Paul in an exorcism. And what they found was the demon actually spoke back to them and said, now, Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you? And then the possessed man jumped on him and gave him such a bleeding. Luke tells us they ran out of the house naked and bloody. And from this event, this leads to these last verses here. It says, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done, referring to their witchcraft and sorcery. And a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. And when they calculated the value of the scrolls, they came to 50,000 drachmas. A drachma was the equivalent of one day's wage. So whatever you make in a day, times it by 50,000. That gives you a numerical equivalent of the cost of all of these scrolls that were burned that day. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of value. And then that last verse, in this way, the word of the Lord, which was a reference to the gospel of Jesus, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. It's all about the name of Jesus. It's about the lordship of Jesus, his kingship over all things. And this lordship of Jesus entails that our lives are fully aligned, or are at least seeking to be fully aligned with his kingdom and the things of his kingdom, because he is the Lord. So that's a quick summary of the purpose of prayer. God be glorified, his kingdom advancing, and the Jesus' lordship being made famous and known all around the world. So in some ways, these three things can act as a checklist for when we are praying. Are my prayers focused on glorifying God? Are my prayers focused on advancing his kingdom? And are my prayers focused on making the name of Jesus and his lordship famous all throughout the world? That's kind of a checklist for us. And now I want to talk about the priority of prayer briefly here. Martin Luther, who we know from the Reformation back in the early 1500s, he says, as it is the business of tailors to mend clothes and cobblers to make shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. I want to just say, like, if you haven't realized it up to this point, you are a commissioned priest in the kingdom of God. I'm going to say that again. You are a commissioned priest in the kingdom of God. Sometimes we still carry around this residue of ages past, this mindset that I need somebody else to pray for me. Now, praying for other people, obviously, as I shared at the beginning, I think it's one of the best gifts anybody could ever give me, is to let me know that they're lifting me up to his throne of grace in prayer. But there's also that reality that I'm a priest in his kingdom. You are a priest in his kingdom. You have the same access as I do. You have the same access as the person next to you does. And as Martin Luther points out there, it's the business of Christians to pray. Someone, I forget his name, but someone even references prayer as not being just a part of the battle, but actually prayer being the battle itself. And so prayer needs to be a priority. You know, I was meeting, my parents are here today, and we were, and this is just kind of a small picture of how it can sometimes look for us. And it was, we were meeting in my, kitchen. It's just Stacy and I, my mom and dad, and we were talking about a specific situation, and we were just talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And then it was kind of like, ooh, light bulb, why don't we actually pray about it right now? Right? Like, sometimes our tendency may be just to be like, just to talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. But prayer needs to be that priority. Stop and pray about it. Look at what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And notice these early words in that verse. He says, I urge then, first of all. First of all, not secondly, not tomorrow, not when you think about it, but first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Those are four ways of referring to different forms or types of prayer. And in good Jewish fashion, that means it's like all-encompassing. A fourfold phrase for a Jewish person is a way of saying like everything. So Paul is saying, first of all, whenever you're praying, regardless of what kind of prayer it is, prayer needs to be priority. First of all, make sure you're praying for everyone. Everyone. Lift them up. It's priority. Our tendency, if we're going to be honest, sometimes our tendency, and this is part of the culture in which we live, it's rather to, we are so focused on doing that we forget the being part. But the Bible would actually teach us as followers of Christ that we can't do until we first learn to be, because the doing comes out of the being. The doing comes out of the being. We can be so quick to act, and then almost as an afterthought, we can be kind of like, oh, Lord, and by the way, would you bless this thing that I've already done? Or, Lord, would you just bless this thing that I'm doing right now? Rather than seeking Him first, seeking first His kingdom, and then, after hearing from Him as to what to do, then to do it. Our culture has this perpetual fight, it seems, against busyness. And the more I kind of study it and look at it, the more I think this is one of the primary issues for us as Western Christians. And it's dealing with that issue of busyness. Because as soon as we allow busyness to creep into our lives, what is usually the first thing to go? Prayer. Well, if I have time, I'll pray. If I have time. I think that phrase, if I have time, is one of the, can't think of the right word I want to use. It's one of the saddest phrases of our culture. If I have time. We see Jesus in our example in Luke chapter 5, which our brother John read for us. I'm just going to read that one more time. And I want you to focus just on that last verse especially. But think about this. As you're hearing this, picture the scene in your mind. Picture the scene in your mind. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Now listen to this. Yet news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. We see this throughout Jesus' ministry, don't we? Word spreads, people come. And there are many times in the Gospels where we're told that the crowds are so great that everybody's like bumping into people. Everybody's bumping into Jesus. Like, that's how great the crowds are. This is describing one of those situations. And look at verse 16 there. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus did not succumb to the busyness. He knew that he had to be connected with the Father at all times. And he made that a priority, even in the midst of the busyness. Or maybe we could say, especially in the midst of the busyness. I like how the Kendrick brothers simply put it. They just simply say, prioritizing prayer means prioritizing God himself. Prioritizing prayer means prioritizing God himself. And now I want to talk about the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Prayer is powerful. And sometimes I wonder if we forget how powerful it actually is. I mean, we are coming into, through Jesus, remember when he died on the cross and the Gospels tell us that the curtain in the temple was torn in two? And that what that signifies is that everyone through Jesus, again, you're a commissioned priest or priestess, you have full access to God's Holy of Holies. The author of Hebrews says that we can, through Jesus, we can come boldly and confidently before God's throne of grace. Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 4 in Hebrews, tells us that. We can have bold and courageous access to a place that was previously kind of off limits until Jesus opened the way up for us. And so when we come into his presence, remember, like yes, God loves us, of course. I don't want to downplay that at all. And he wants us to come into his presence. He's welcoming us at his table. He's welcoming us into his presence. But yet, let us not forget also that this is the presence of God. This is the presence of the one who put the stars in place and knows them by name. This is the one who has guaranteed that when we go to sleep tonight, the sun will rise tomorrow morning. That breath you just took, and that one you just took as well. Scripture teaches us that that's only possible because Jesus is sustaining everything in creation just by his very will. That's the presence of the one that we come before. Presence into the one who is Lord Almighty, creator of everything. And just his very presence is a powerful thing. I like what Mike Bickle says. He says, first and foremost, prayer is about encountering God and growing in relationship with him. It is the means by which we most feel his presence and receive love from him as we gain understanding of what he is like. Of what he is like. You know, sometimes I'll hear somebody say, like, man, I'm having trouble connecting with God. I'm having trouble connecting with God. And as I think about this, maybe a question they're asking in response would be, oh, tell me how your prayer life is. Tell me how your prayer life is. Because according to what we understand from Scripture and what we see about prayer, there's that direct connection that, again, prayer is not just me ticking off a checklist of things before God and then getting up and going about my way. It's about entering into his presence and understanding that, yes, I'm speaking to God, but also understanding that God wants to speak to me. That God has something to say. One of my mentors, Doug Buckwater, New Testament professor at Evangelical Seminary. We meet together once a month, and every once in a while, he'll just share with me something, and he'll talk about just being in his bedroom and laying out prostrate before the Lord and just crying out to God, and God answers him. God answers him, and it's like, yeah, like, why would we think that that's not, like, a normative thing for us? Like, just understanding that God wants to speak to us. God has something to say. So prayer, when we come into and experience the power of God because his presence is there, God is just as concerned about building a relationship with us as we are with Him. Even more so because He's the one who sent His Son to make that possible. Why would we ever not think that God has something, doesn't have something to say for us or to us? Prayer is powerful because in it we're encountering God. And prayer is powerful because in it the Holy Spirit is indwelling us and guiding us and empowering us as God's people. I love this example from Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And I made this whole account part of your Diving Deeper this week if you follow the Diving Deeper passages. But what happens here leading up to this, what happens here is Peter and John in chapter 3, they heal a man on the steps of the temple, a guy who was crippled in his ankles and for years, and they heal him in the name of Jesus, and so many witnesses around the temple for this, and as a result, they're ushered into the presence of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish rulers, and they grill him on this, and they say, stop teaching in the name of Jesus, and they threaten them, and all kinds of things, and then they send them on their way, and Peter and John go, and the first thing they do is not go to the authorities and file a report. The first thing they do is they go back to their group of believers and they tell them what happened. And it's like they're high-fiving each other. It's crazy. And then what's their first response? Their first priority is to pray. And it's one of my favorite prayers in all of Scripture. And God answers their prayer. And at the end of that, we have verse 31. And it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, reminiscent of Acts 2 and the Pentecost event when the Holy Spirit was initially sent to the church. And they were filled again with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. And that last phrase, they spoke the word of God boldly, that is a direct answer to what they prayed for. They didn't pray for safety. They prayed for God to be made known. They made for His kingdom, prayed for His kingdom to advance. And they prayed that they would be His servants and continue to speak the word boldly and courageously. And God answers that prayer, and they boldly, courageously proclaim the word of God, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What if I told you God wants to answer your prayers? God wants to answer your prayers. Stephen and Alec Kendrick say this: prayer is what infuses all of our efforts and genuine concerns of our hearts with God's boundless ability. Prayer is what frames our pressing short-term issues with God's eternal perspective, showing us just how temporary and endurable and winnable even our most intense battles truly are. Prayer means hope. Prayer means help. Prayer means power. As long as you can pray, you are never powerless. As long as you can pray, there's hope. As long as you can pray, there's help. Everybody should have one of these now. Pull out a writing utensil. If you don't have one, we'll find you one. Maybe you can share with the person next to you. The front side looks like this. The back side has the lines on it. The front side looks like this. We're gonna do something throughout our fall here. And first, I want to walk you through this, and I want everybody to fill it out now, if you will, if you'd be so kind. It says, may we each experience the amazing power of God in our generation as a testimony of His goodness for His glory. So the first thing there, it says, my scheduled prayer time. I want you to take a moment right now, whether you're a morning person or a night owl, that doesn't matter. But I want you right now to think, okay, when is the time that I'm going to set aside for prayer? And I want you to write that time in there, whether it's a.m. or p.m. I'm not going to tell you when that is for you. It could be lunchtime, whatever, but fill that in. What is going to be your scheduled prayer time? And then when you have that part filled out, go to that next part where it says, my scheduled prayer place. My scheduled prayer place. Where is that for you? In Matthew 6, Jesus talks about going into your secret place to pray. Where's that place for you where you will be uninterrupted? Where you will be not distracted by cell phones or things like that. Maybe there's a place where you feel God talks to you more than other places. I know Sam has shared publicly with us probably like 2 years ago that Gladfelder Park in Columbia, in the pavilion there, that's a place that if Sam really feels like he needs to hear from God, he in the past has gone to that pavilion and prayed to the Lord there, because that's a place where he encounters God. I know I heard a story of a pastor. Their church owns a coffee shop in Washington, D.C. And for him, it's going up onto the rooftop of that coffee shop where he can pace around on that rooftop undistracted and pray. Where is that place for you? Where is that place for you that at this time, on each day, I will go into this secret place and go before the Lord in prayer? And now, and I don't think this part's going to be hard, because these things are probably going to be right on the front of our mind. But next it says, develop a specific personalized ongoing prayer list using one or more of the following questions. And you can write those in on the back. There's 8 spots on the back, but you don't have to fill in all 8. So, something you could use as a guide. What are your top 3 biggest needs right now? What are your top 3 things you are most stressed about right now? What are the 3 issues in your life that would take a miracle of God to resolve? What is something good and honorable that if God provided it would greatly benefit you, your family, and others? What is something God may be leading you to do, but you need His clarity and direction on it? And what is a need from someone you love that you'd like to start praying about? Write those in on the back there. Write those in on the back there. And here's what we're going to do. Did you guys, as you're writing those in, did anybody notice the big the wall out here next to the coffee spot? Where it has a title, it says Wall of Remembrance. Here's what we're going to do. And we'll leave that up at least throughout this series. Maybe we'll leave it up for the rest of the year here. But that is a space that as we are diving into our prayer plans as a church, that when God answers one of those prayers, I want to invite you to write it on that wall. Just grab a pen or a marker, and you don't have to write. I'm not talking about like writing a paragraph. It can just be a word or a phrase. But just write something on there that next Sunday then, when people are here getting their coffee, and they glance over to the wall of remembrance, and they see like, oh man, like 3 people wrote something on there. God answered prayers this week. And it will be a visual reminder for us that God wants to answer our prayers. God wants us to be coming to Him in this posture of prayer. That this is part of what it means to be the church, is to be praying together for one another, for His kingdom, for His glory and honor. And we'll see those things as a testimony to the greatness of God. And I want to just real quick to wrap this up. I know if you're a person and you're thinking like, man, like I have no prayer life, I want to just encourage you. Let this be that moment that sparks you to something new. Or maybe you've been walking with Christ for a while and your prayer life has been hot and cold and hot and cold and hot and cold. Let this be a moment that can just revive your prayer life. Let this be a new beginning for you in that. And even if you're thinking like, man, this is just weird, Pastor. This is just weird. This seems like too charismatic for me. Like, what is going on? Thought we were BIC. I'm kidding. Yeah, we still believe the Holy Spirit's at work, right? It would be weirder not to pray, right? And I just want to leave you with these words from Mark Batterson in his book, The Circle Maker. He says this towards the end of his book. He says, the greatest tragedy in life is the prayers that go unanswered because they go unasked. The greatest tragedy in life is the prayers that go unanswered because they go unasked. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? We got everything to gain. Will you join me in leaning in to the Lord in prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you for the gift of prayer that through Jesus we can come boldly and confidently before your throne of grace and find mercy and help in our time of need. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit guides us so that when we pray, we're not just praying willy-nilly, but we're praying according to your will because the Holy Spirit's guiding our prayers. And Lord, I just pray that this would be the moment when you begin to take the spark that is in this place and that you, God, begin to fan it into a flame for you. A roaring fire that will just spread and that we will not be able to contain it. A roaring fire that will spread your glory and honor, that will spread your kingdom in this place, and that will spread the lordship and the fame of the name of Jesus Christ. God, help us to begin to lean in. If there's people among us, Father, who are just really struggling with the busyness factor, I pray that you will just break those chains in the name of Jesus. And I pray, just as we were reminded of last week, that there would be freedom there, freedom to prioritize. Not because we have to, but because we want to come before you. Because we want to get to know you more deeply. Because we want to love you more. Thank you that we can encounter you through prayer. Help us as a church to begin to experience that more and more. And we look forward and we thank you even now for the answered prayers that will come. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together for our benediction here. I just want to speak it over you. May the power and love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us. Amen. Amen. Go in His power this week.